The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Thank you, Chris, for putting this on the thread. From Adam Schefter, I'm excited about this. Netflix, and I'm now three episodes into Full Swing. It's pretty good. If you're a golf guy, it's pretty good behind-the-scenes stuff. Here comes their newest sports series that will follow, and this is such the right call. You want some drama and sports, you go out and you follow wide receivers. The most dramatic position in all of sports. All of American sports, at least. There is no more dramatic position in football, certainly baseball, and even basketball, than a wide receiver, the biggest divas in sports history. This year, they will be following five receivers. Davante Adams, amazing. Because you know there's going to be drama in Las Vegas. Justin Jefferson, amazing. Kirk Cousins is gone. Yeah. You know there's going to be some drama. Amon-Ra St. Brown, amazing because he's a stud. And his dad and his brother's also in the league, a receiver for the Bears. And I've seen stuff with them before. It's eye candy in the sense of you can't take your eyes off of them when they're on screen. They're a blast to watch. And George Kittle and Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
I am beyond excited for this.
Kittle eat that up.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? That's just a bunch of dudes that just pop off the screen entertaining. That's going to be fun to watch. I'm telling you right now, if they do it even close to right, that is, you've got the ingredients. You have all the ingredients for a phenomenal documentary/reality show. All right. Kings beat Memphis. We got post-game audio for you. And we will get to Mike Brown, a little Fox, and a little Monk if we have time. But I don't know that this will necessarily help the fan base, but sometimes I think one of the things that can drive people the most crazy is when things are happening and you don't understand them. Like, even if it's something bad, if you get it, if you know... like one of the reasons oftentimes cited, people think Space Mountain at Disneyland is scary. It's not because the roller coaster itself is scary. It's because for much of the ride, you're in the dark or almost. You don't know what's coming. Yeah. Right.
Wow. That was a really good analogy.
I actually think that was a very good analogy. I want to help you with the Sacramento Kings because the whole thing about like, why, how did that happen? I can't believe that. Oh, they did this. If you take a step back, as we like to go to 50,000 feet, I've come up with some rules. And if you follow these rules, and I'd like everybody, if you can, pull out your phones. If you're driving, pull over, obviously.
Yeah.
Or a notepad, if you're old school. That's fine. And I'd like you to write these down, because it's going to help you as a Kings fan. If the Kings are playing a good team, bet on the Kings. Unless the team they're playing is missing one or more of their stars. If that's the case, bet against the Kings or on the other team. If the Kings are playing just a straight-up bad team, bet on the bad team. Now, please keep in mind, these are betting rules. So when I say bet on the bad team, I'm not necessarily saying the bad team will win. I'm saying the bad team will cover the spread. If it's the Kings' first home game after a road trip, it doesn't matter who they're playing or what the situation is, bet on the road team 100% of the time. You won't win 100% of the time. You'll win about 95% of the time. If the Kings are missing either Fox or Sabonis, bet on the Kings. Those are your rules. And I went back about 6 weeks. I forget the number, but it was something like, they were something like 15-3 when following those rules. Might have been 16-2. So last night, they're coming off a three. What happened against the Bucks? Playing a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a really good team. Bet on the Kings. Then they're playing another good team in a rival in the Lakers the following night. Let's go. Little scary there because not all the rules are being followed. But if you just stick to the script, they're playing the Lakers. Bet on that. Knicks kind of flipped the script because they were a good team, but the Knicks were missing Julius Randle. Right. Bet on the Knicks. And then you forward to last night. They're playing Memphis. They're coming off a three-game stretch in which I thought they played well in all three games, just didn't grab that win against the Knicks. But there was no lack of effort or weirdness in that Knicks game. You're playing the Grizzlies. Okay, so not only are you playing a bad team at home, especially following playing good teams, but the Grizzlies are missing like half their roster.
Yeah, they literally had, I think they had an exemption. They were able to have 20 players. They were missing 11 or 12 players.
That's ridiculous.
They had 8 available bodies.
Including Ja Morant.
They had 2 very good players.
Sure.
But
the rest were like borderline bench players, a few of them. Also, who's the guy? I was listening to Kyle. I finally had to look it up, and I can't remember. Who's the guy? I kept saying, like, some dude named Arabia was scoring for the Grizzlies. But what is it, Lorania?
Jake Laravia.
Laravia. It sounded like Arabia to me. I was like,
Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia, exactly. So they're playing the Grizzlies. There's also a rule I'm kind of following, too, but I'm not there yet, which is the last game of a homestand. Seems that that's also one that sometimes they get a little goofy on, but last game of a homestand, they're playing a very poor team, missing multiple stars. Bet on the road team.
So these are betting rules.
These are betting rules, but also can guide you in the sense it may not determine who's going to win or lose, but it's going to give you an idea of what you're looking at.
So the upcoming road trip would be bet on the opposing teams a couple times, right? Because it's Toronto without Scotty Barnes and a bad team record wise. Washington.
Here's the thing. So these rules right here, that's just for home games.
Oh, okay.
Road teams, they're a little more inconsistent. Guess is they'll go 2-1 on the trip.
That'd be great.
I just don't. And you would think they'd beat Toronto and Washington and lose to Orlando. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could it would not shock me whatsoever if they beat Toronto, lost to the Wizards.
Yeah, it is the second. I mean, I know people like, it's second out of a back-to-back. That's not the easiest travel back, but whatever. I mean, it shouldn't be. That's not an excuse. It happens to everybody.
I mean, they're leaving the country.
Yeah, exactly.
They're leaving the country. So you got Wednesday at Toronto, Thursday at the Wizards, and then Saturday at Orlando before they come back for another 5-game road trip, in which 2 of those will be Dallas. Five-game road trip?
Yeah.
What an idiot. 5-game homestand before they head out on that dagger East Coast swing.
The quirk of the next homestand, I still don't understand. Look, I'm not the schedule maker. Maybe there's something going on in the arena is the only thing I could think of. Why on earth would they come home and play Philly? That's fine. The very next night, play Dallas. And why I'm saying that is I've never seen this. Dallas will be here probably late Monday night because I think they also play.
Yeah.
And then when's the second game? Friday?
Friday.
I've never seen a team here for 4 days.
Nah. Same.
So both teams play Monday night. Why wasn't the game Wednesday?
Yeah, why didn't you – or yeah, exactly. Or play
– or even Thursday, Friday. Then that way both teams have the exact same –
100%.
I don't get that.
I 100% agree with you. There has to be stuff going on Wednesday, Thursday, or something. Because, they have Dallas. Well, that means, hey, for you card collectors out there, Luka Doncic will be in Sacramento all week.
For days.
For like 5 days. Yeah. What is Luka? I would honestly look, you want to see Luka Doncic, go on your Google Maps where Sawyer is and then search hookah bars.
Luka and hookah.
He's going to be somewhere. Either that or eating, right, Chris?
Yeah. If you want to go to a pregame meal in Doko, I think you're out of luck.
You got sausage arms and cankles.
He's just going to be posted up at Sauced the whole time, just pounding barbecue with like a big Mavs bib on.
Nice.
Brings it on the road. Yeah. We'll get to more postgame, or some postgame at least, in a little bit. We got three for Madness coming up. Who's going to be the Giants' ace now? March Madness and LeBron James. More media from him, which is great. He never speaks. We'll talk about that in just 1 minute on Sactown Sports.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Bob Gerald coming up at 8. Not Bobby anymore, huh?
He can be whatever he likes.
I'm just wondering, maybe, has he done that? You know him really well. Has he done the thing where he's like, you know what? I'm a grown man now.
I don't know. I call them both. Bob, Bobby.
Who is a better analyst? Bob Gerald, Robert Gerald, or Rob Gerald?
Bobby Gerald.
Bobby Gerald's the best.
Choices.
Bobby.
All of them.
They're all great.
Yeah.
You know who isn't, though? Robbie Gerald.
Robbie. Yeah.
Not a great analyst. Yeah. Got to be honest with you. Yeah. But we got Bob.
That's right.
He's gonna join us at 8 a.m. We are excited for that. In the meantime, Fire Wings brings you Three for Madness, and Christopher Laud reads it to you. Question number one.
Who will be the Giants' ace, Weber Snell?
That is like, I got to get back into baseball enough, I guess, for a minute to go through team by team. But I got to think that's as good, if not the best, 1-2 punch in baseball. It's really got to be.
Well, it is really good. I would say, for the beginning, Snell just signed. So, hope there's some credit or equity, let's say, for a guy like Logan Webb, like to start the season. Mm-hmm. But I could see as the year goes on, and if they make the playoffs, maybe game one starter being Blake Snell. He's a 2-time Cy Young Award winner.
Well, here's the thing. He's the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner. Logan Webb was second.
Right.
So they have the top two Cy Young vote getters from last year leading off. But I think the question is really – Well, I guess it's a two-part question I'm thinking of, because number one, who is their ace? I got to go with the reigning Cy Young Award winner, mm-hmm. as much as I love our guy Logan Webb. Yeah. Secondly, who is your opening day starter?
I think that's Logan Webb.
I think so, too. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all. That seems like a Bob Melvin thing to do, where he'd say, look, who cares? But right. let's give you a game. Let's put our local grown guy, our second place Cy Young guy out there. That's his world. And then you just come right back behind him.
Yeah.
Question two.
Which is better, the first 2 days of March Madness or the rest of the tournament?
Jason, this is a great question. Also, I hate the question. Here's why. I read it early this morning, and it's just it's why you know it's a good question. I immediately started arguing with myself. It's really a tough question. Now, I'm going to land probably in the minority here. Dude, there's nothing like the first 2 days of the tournament. Yeah. There just isn't. And if you really, I love watching the final game. The final four weekend is amazing. Like, the upsets that are going to happen in between the final four and the first weekend. Like, it's like eating a multi-course sports dinner. Like, you open with the symphony of sports. And if you haven't ever had the opportunity, and this is, obviously if you're into this, if you've never had the opportunity to watch the opening 2 days in a Vegas sports book, even if you don't bet, watching the opening 2 days in a sports book is the difference. It's the same thing as to watching a really funny comedy at home or watching it in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. There's something about being around people, most of which have money on the line, are going crazy. You have 100,000 screens in front of you. It is sports overload, and there's nothing that compares to it. But everything else about the tournament is great too. I will go with the Thursday Friday open.
Yeah, or the same thing, watching it live in person. Like the last year, it was here at Golden One Center. It was amazing. I think it's the beginning as well. Really, I feel like it's the first 4 days, because by Sunday we're down to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
The games maybe mean more and can potentially get better as it goes along, but. It's all the games. It's the upsets. Even the first day, sometimes it may go one way or the other, where there's a bunch of upsets on day one, or there aren't any. People are like, oh, there's no upsets. We got a whole nother day of still round one. So sometimes people kind of sleep on the Friday action because everybody's excited about Thursday. But yeah, I think it's the beginning. I love the very beginning of the tournament. It's close though.
We haven't even factored in, like, everything we just said is 100% true. Oh, by the way, your brackets.
Yes.
Which. Yeah, you have a
lot of times
interest.
By the weekend it might be done.
We need to have an extended conversation at some point this week too. Can I tell you, like, as a growing fan of the women's game, I understand the men aren't going anywhere with their can we move the women's tournament? I hate that they're pretty much at the same time. Yeah. I just think it'd be so much cooler to, like, let's focus 100% on the men's tournament, and then I don't know, like, the week, the men's, what is it? The championships, what, on a Monday? Mm-hmm. Tuesday? Monday? Like, then that Thursday start the women's tournament and give them 100% of the focus. Not that you can't focus on both, but I feel like one kind of gets a little like, oh, everything's about the men's tournament. I am all in on the women's. South Carolina, baby. That's one pick.
UCLA, baby.
South Carolina, they're undefeated. So that's bandwagoning right there.
It is.
Question number three, please.
Question three.
LeBron James and J.J. Redick are going to have a podcast. Any interest?
All right. If you'd asked me this question on the show yesterday, this time 24 hours ago, the answer would have been an easy, not really. There's just too much stuff out there.
What
whatever.
Changed?
I watched the clip. And I'll tell you, if...
What was the clip?
The clip was J.J. Redick and LeBron James sitting at a table, surrounded by wine, drinking what looked to be some sort of red wine. And they're having this casual conversation, and LeBron James is describing coverages on an inbounds play. And he's talking about the pick-the-picker guy and the guard flailing over here and double screen and all that. And then J.J. is listening to him and, like, writing stuff down on a piece of paper. And then he's, like, basically drawing the play up and goes back at him with some stuff. And it was like, it was 100% not what I expected. I thought it was, and maybe that's just part of it. And it's, if it's like, let's ruminate on things and philosophy and the game, that's fine. It'll be like the SNL rules. When there's something really good or newsworthy, I'll see it on Twitter. But if it's going to be one of the greatest players of all time, and LeBron James, tough. If it's going to be one of the greatest players of all time, and somebody who obviously has a very high basketball IQ as well, J.J. Redick, and they're dissecting things in the game as nerds, like, I'm actually all in for that because I love the nerd talk, and I'd rather hear the nerd talk from, you know, guys that actually played and did amazing than, you know, Amin El-Hassan who finger rolls a jump shot. Right. So, if it's like that clip, I'm in on it.
Yeah, I guess I need to see the clip.
Yeah.
One. Two, it's weird to have two people that I like that I don't know that I'm that intrigued by it for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I think it might be one of those where I see enough clips, go, oh, yeah, you know what, that does look pretty good.
Well, the thing I get scared about with LeBron is anytime you feel like he's being interviewed, he's saying what you want him to say.
What you want him to say. I agree with you. And I'm a LeBron fan. But I also acknowledge that LeBron is 99.9% of the time very careful and manufactured in what he says. So was Jordan. They both had these images. But, again, that's not the clip I saw. The clip I saw was LeBron and JJ sitting at a table in, like, some wine room, drinking wine, and casually going over an inbounds play for 2.5 minutes. I'll send you guys the clip. Yeah. And that's not what I expected to see. And we don't have a lot of time to consume 900,000 things. Like, Draymond Green... I love what he says on it. I'm fascinated by what he says.
That
on
all
his
comes
mind.
For me on clips. That's
That's exactly right. Old Man in the Three. Mm-hmm. I've never watched it once, but I've seen 100 clips when they're newsworthy. This one. If I'm telling you, man, if it's nerd talk, I'll send you guys a clip during the break, and we will take that right now. When we come back, Kings are getting hit by the injury bug, something they didn't have to deal with as much last year. We'll talk about that in the rotation. We'll do that next.
get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
So the tough part of the game last night, just, what, 2 minutes in? Minute 50 in? Kevin Huerter going to the basket. Clean foul, but a hard foul, let's put it that way, by Memphis. And you could tell right away that it was not good for Kevin Huerter. Still no official ruling, Dave mentioned earlier. MRI coming up on Kevin Huerter. And let's hope for good news for Huerter, because if you start to think about it now, Dave, at the wrong time of the year, you've got multiple injuries. Sasha's still been out. You got Trey Lyles being reevaluated in a couple weeks, and now Kevin Huerter. And so that's, you know, three players, certainly one starter, another one very prominent in the rotation, and Sasha can be in the rotation. It's been relatively injury-free for the season. They're more, a little more banged up than last year. But compared to, like, Memphis, who I think, you know, G-Man said last night during the broadcast, they've had like 400-something games missed due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've just had so many players out. So it's been better than that. But we're here at the end, and like you want as complete of a roster as you possibly can.
And let's talk about Kevin. You know, Trey Lyles really hurts right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Sasha's on his way back. Full participant yesterday. I would be mildly surprised if he didn't play on this road trip.
Yeah.
I think he will.
And there's a chance to play, especially if Herter's out.
Mm-hmm. We talked earlier about how gross it was last night to see some Kings fans, I use that with air quotes, celebrating a Huerter injury. He's been struggling. There's no doubt about that. There's been a lot of people. You know, we've talked about it extensively, thinking maybe you move Keon Ellis into the starting role. That doesn't, you know, you don't celebrate injuries, especially with your own team. That's just dumb. But it doesn't mean that we can't talk about the realities of the situation. There's nothing good about a player being injured, full stop. My hope is A, that this is a minor injury. He misses a week or something and he's fine. And if an injury were to come that is hopefully minor for Kevin Huerter, I'm just trying to be as careful and open as I can about this. You could argue if there was a, air quotes, good time for it to happen. Here's my optimistic view. Kevin's out a week or two. Gives him some time to reset, to maybe get out of his own head. It's not a skill thing. It's a mental thing. His shot looks great. 95% of his misses are just in and out misses. It's a game of inches. And maybe it gives Kevin an opportunity to kind of reset. It also now gives Mike Brown an opportunity and the fans an opportunity to see, oh, okay, well, here's Keon Ellis in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Either A, oh, my God, we should have done this a long time ago. This is amazing. And then Kevin comes back and he comes off the bench and we're off and running. That's a positive.
Yeah.
A positive through a negative. That's, you know, nobody wanted to see Drew Bledsoe. And again, the silly analogy.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to see Drew Bledsoe get hurt. I don't think there's a Patriots fan alive that would argue that Drew Bledsoe getting hurt and Tom Brady taking over didn't end up benefiting the team as a whole.
Yeah.
I think that narrative is done.
Sure. Trey Lance got hurt. Jimmy G got hurt. Then there's Brock Purdy.
100%.
100%. It does happen that way.
It does happen that way. It's unfortunate. You don't ever want to lose a job to injury, but it happens. Mm-hmm. And from a team perspective, there's nothing wrong with that. So we get an opportunity now. And, oh, by the way, if it goes differently, okay, well now we know. Maybe Kevin was doing a little bit more as a starter. Maybe that's the way to go. That issue was solved. And not only will that move Keon into the starting lineup with a little more experience under his belt, and he's going to step up to the opportunity, you hope, but someone's going to have to take Keon's bench minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking Kevin's starter minutes. You just move on down the line. Now somebody's got to take Keon's bench minutes. So maybe it is a Sasha Vezenkov. Now you have somebody else that needs to take Trey Lyles' minutes right now. Maybe it is this guy, that guy, what, somebody that steps up, Alex Len, whoever. And that's all going to do nothing but benefit down the stretch in the playoffs, you would hope, with guys that have had the ability to kind of step up and do their thing.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's why, like, to your point, there is a little bit of a runway before the postseason is here. to kind of get this next version, if they are missing Herter for some time, some games together, some reps, some minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, it's nice to know that you still have Malik coming off the bench, but it'd be nice to get the overall depth, though. I think they need all of the bodies, all right? You don't want to miss three of your top eight or nine at this time of year.
No, you don't. I mean, there's no positive spin on it. This is more of a, we're trying to find positive spins on it, but it stinks. Also, you mentioned Malik Monk. I heard this on the broadcast. You know, Katie and Kyle were talking. We said this a week ago, and I just kind of want to reiterate because I want this narrative to take place, to take hold. They were saying, I think Katie said something like, you know, gosh, Malik Monk has, you know, they got to make him the sixth man. Like, he's got to be the sixth man of the year. And then they threw up a graphic. I really want Kings fans to adopt the following narrative. He is the sixth man of the year. He is the presumptive favorite of all of the major awards that go out. I don't think there's a bigger favorite right now than Malik Monk. It's not particularly close. It probably won't be unanimous because it's really tough to have something like that unanimous, but it wouldn't shock me if it's unanimous. And if Malik Monk, barring some fall off a cliff,
right?
If the season ended today, for example, and there's no reason to think Malik's not going to do this throughout the end of the regular season. If the season ended today and Malik Monk didn't win sixth man, it would be arguably a bigger travesty than Domantas Sabonis not making. That's how we have to think about this now.
Well, and that's probably why there's some reservations for people. It's like Sabonis feels like a lock for the All-Star game. And maybe Fox right on the edge,
sure,
and neither one makes it. So there's maybe your reservations.
Because, I understand the reservations. This is Sacramento.
Right.
And we have every right to feel reservations. Malik Monk being the sixth man of the year is a bigger lock than Domantas Sabonis making the All-Star team, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And Domantas Sabonis, that was one of the biggest snubs ever. It's not, if you take a look, not just at the betting odds, which is always an easy way to shortcut it because they do all the research, but you take a look at the numbers. You look at the top five guys, and you look at what they're doing. In fact, they threw the graphic up last night. He's leading in points, assists, this, that, whatever, like seven different categories. Yeah. He's first or second. It's not close. It's his award. Malik Monk, barring one of the biggest travesties of all time, and or at this point, you know, honestly, knock on wood, I think even if Malik Monk got injured, I think it's still his. Mm-hmm. I think if Malik Monk for some reason got injured and missed the rest of the regular season, it's still his award.
Yeah, there's enough of a body of work of what he's done consistently this year. And
yes.
Every time he does that, I just keep thinking, man, it's going to be difficult to keep him, but they got to do whatever they can to keep him.
He said in his post-game interview last night, it was the TV one, and he said that, you know, he right away thanked Monty and Wes and Mike Brown and Vivek right at the start of his interview for giving him this opportunity and giving them all the credit. Mm-hmm. Everything out of his camp is that he wants to be here. He sure sounds like a guy that wants to stay here. And the biggest reason that I think he will stay here is I think he would already know if he was leaving. And we've talked about this before. He knows to the penny what the Kings can offer him. They can do two things. They can offer him the max they can over a couple of years,
mm-hmm,
or they can offer him a one-year deal or a two-year with an opt-out after year, whatever, and get his bird rights, and then, you know, he's got to take a chance on himself. But his agents already told him exactly what the Kings can offer.
Right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that knowing that, he'd still be talking. He certainly wouldn't be like, well, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
But I think he'd back off a little, you know what, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just great to be here. I'm enjoying the moment, that type of stuff.
Well, and the thing to be excited about is if he is here, like, he's in it for the haul then, right? Because, I mean, he will have to bet on himself. And whether it's a 1 year with an option, his benefit of staying is to ultimately get those bird rights and a longer contract after this year.
Yes.
So if there's a, you know, if Malik's here day one next year, that's a good sign for him being here for a couple of years.
And I don't want to overplay the relationship with De'Aaron Fox. Malik has a family to think about. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I got to think somewhere, sometime on the phone, on the road, in a text message, whatever, they've had more than their fair share of conversations about how great it would be to avenge that NCAA loss. Mm-hmm. And who'd they lose to? I thought it was you guys.
No.
Oh, I was setting you up. It wasn't UCLA. No. Who did they lose? Oh, no, they beat. That was Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, they
beat.
Smoked him.
Who did? God, who did they lose? I'll have to go back and look. The one where they were crying afterwards. Yeah. Damn. I think they would love nothing more, obviously, than win a championship together mm-hmm. in Sacramento. What a great story.
Right.
Before we go to break, Jason, I was that's actually why I walked in. I was trying to make sure there was no swearing. Let me just play you a quick clip of the LeBron JJ Redick podcast we talked about right before we hit the break, and see if you get the same thing I did out of it.
There's a lot of things, other things I would do in basketball too. Like it's a couple other coverages I would do. The pick the picker, B.O.B. Not bombs over Baghdad, but baseline out of bounds. Yeah.
America's play.
Yeah, America's play. Yeah. You have the guard. You have the best shooter sitting in the middle of the lane. Yep. You have the biggest wing sitting at the top.
Yep.
Five is on the strong side. You have the point guard taking it out.
Yep. And then the weak side corner.
In the weak side corner.
Yeah.
It's not many times that the guy, the wing, that's coming down the middle gets that pass. Because in theory, if you're guarding the ball, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, take away the basket, and then jump out, right, to take away the shot. The guy that's guarding the ball, when he says 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, why doesn't he just take the guard that's coming out for the pick-to-picker and the guard that's guarding the pick-to-picker guy just falls right to the guy that's taking the ball out?
Yeah.
You go 1-1,000, 2-1,000. J.J. Redick is flying off left, right, where you know he's dangerous. He can shoot straight up and down if he wants to, or he's going to fade if he wants to as well, maybe kick you.
It's my natural shooting motion. It's my natural shooting motion.
I'm guarding the ball. I just take JJ, and the guard who was chasing you just falls right to the guy that's taking the ball out. That's one. That's not. We could talk about that.
So no, no. So what's interesting about that? I like that. I'll tell you why. Because like someone who ran that play, right? So whether I slipped or set the screen, I'm coming off. A lot of teams after 2-1,000. Would send the guy guarding the takeout guy. They'd send him to me.
Yeah.
Okay. There's another minute of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's fascinating to me. That's the type of basketball talk I love. Two guys, IQs off the charts when it comes to basketball. Talking about B.O.B. and pick the picker.
But it's important, like, they show some graphics. If that's not right, that you need that there.
I think just listening, it's a challenge.
Right.
But I think if you're watching and you got the graphics, like, they're both calling it America's play.
Yeah.
Screen the screener, America. I don't know that.
Right.
So the 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, everything they take you through. If it's J.J. Redick and LeBron James, like, for example, breaking down, like, classic plays, writing new plays, going into the strategy, the deep weeds of all that, I'm a nerd about that. I'm 100% in. But I could also see how some people be like, oh, man, come on, talk about the drama. This guy was talking crap, and, you know, what about that chase down block? And I get that. Everyone likes the drama. I think it would be incredibly refreshing to have a podcast come out with a super duper star, and again, a really smart guy, J.J. Redick, just nerding out about basketball plays. Mm-hmm. Give it up.
There you go.
I'm there. You and I have talked about this before. We've wanted to do something like that with Sean Salisbury.
Right.
Where we just do the alphabet soup plays, to, you know, explain to a spider why banana.
Yeah, and what go trying through. To do.
I think that stuff's fascinating. And I think they're, with all the yammering everybody does about sports, especially basketball and football, which are play heavy, there's not a lot of education when it comes to that. There's not a lot of people that can break that stuff down. Like this year, all I hear is spray threes. Hmm. I never heard spray threes, but did you? I didn't. I don't remember you heard the term.
It's way more now.
Okay. Yeah. I've never heard the term spray threes until this year. Well, that's something I need to learn. That's something I want to be up on. Yeah. We'll take a break. When we come back, the homestand kind of reflected the season for the Sacramento Kings. Good, not great. We'll look back, and then we'll look ahead at what's coming up for them before Bob Gerald joins us at 8 a.m. We'll get to that next.
Very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
One 800-920-1140 is the phone number you can call right now for the Jiffy Lube drive of the game. Just tell us what G-Man called out as the drive of the game yesterday. And you get a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube. That's it. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. We are going to have Bob Gerald on.
Yes.
Top of the hour. Who we are going to call Bobby Brackets.
Bobby Brackets.
Isn't that a great name?
That is.
Bobby Brackets during this time of year.
He loves basketball. He's got his website, hoopobsession.com. But he watches a ton of college basketball. He's scouting these guys for the NBA, but he loves college hoops. So he's gonna be fun to have on.
One thing I want to
remember
add,
that thing we used to do with Bobby Brackets.
Right. Hey, Bobby Brackets. Hey. Meet Frankie Clicks.
Yes.
So, just as we lead into that, just want to let people know, because I keep seeing this way too much. If one of your upsets is number 11 New Mexico over number 6 Clemson, and by the way, I have New Mexico over Clemson in both my brackets, so I'm there. But stop sharing that that's one of your upsets, because you're not fooling anyone. New Mexico is actually favored to beat Clemson.
Oh, wow.
They're actually the betting favorite by 1.5 to beat Clemson. So if that's your super secret upset, in fact, it's giving me a lot of anxiety.
Now you want to switch it back?
Because I didn't look at the odds until this morning on that one, and I picked New Mexico because I've watched a little bit of Clemson, ACC. Don't think they're great. But then again, you know, the tournament's a different thing. But now all of a sudden, it's like everybody has New Mexico over Clemson, and New Mexico's favorite. So Clemson is probably like, oh, and again, in a close matchup like that, there's nothing like the world's against us in the locker room.
Sure.
So now it's like it's that game is in my head more than any other game in this bracket right now in the first round. And I think depending on how that turns out, that's going to determine whether or not I win the bracket.
It's that game.
It's that one point that we get.
All
from the
points
game.
Matter.
So we're looking forward to talking to Bob.
Yes.
This homestand, Jason.
Yeah. Kind of a snapshot of the season, would you say? I mean, if you look at it, great wins.
Great wins.
Against the Lakers and the Bucks. I mean, those were great.
The Bucks win, you could argue, win of the year.
Yeah. They stole the Spurs game.
They did.
I wouldn't say they stole last night, but, I mean, that's a bad play, a missed shot from being a terrible loss.
I would say it was more like the Grizzlies almost stole it from the Kings, but it was there for the taking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Kings were the better team in overtime.
Yes.
The other rest of the game, I said this in the postgame, Dave. I said if you would have told me in the pregame, or if I could have told you in the pregame show or before tip-off, Fox would have a double-double. Keegan would have a double-double. Mm-hmm. Sabonis would have a double-double.
Yep.
And Malik would lead everybody in scoring. Yep. And they have 8 players. I'm like, oh, yeah, Kings, that's about 15 or more win.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was a battle. They had to work all the way through. And then the 2 home losses. The Knicks one, I don't think anybody's that mad about. I liked the way it was in a Knicks style. It was physical. The Kings, I thought, matched it. Just couldn't quite get over the hump. Didn't love the Houston game.
Did not love.
So again, 4-2, you're like, it's a lot like the season. How's their record? Well, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah, they're good. They're a good team. They're not great. And the homestand was, to me, the season in general.
So they're 6-3 in the month of March.
Okay.
There's 7 games left in March. If I remember correctly, so that's 16 games in March. And I think I said that this team should go 12-4.
Ooh, okay. 7-3?
12-4. They're 6-3. Right. I think the line was they should go 12-4. I think is the most acceptable. I said 11-5 is like the minimum. And then anything under that you have to say is disappointing. And I said, but, you know, also, you know, whatever, 14, 15, that like they could go on some crazy run. And when you look at their losses this month are at home to Chicago, at home to Houston, and at home to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. On paper, they should have won 2 of those 3.
Right.
On paper, they should have won 2 of those 3. That puts them at 8-1 now all of a sudden. But that's
big difference
on paper versus what this team does. Now, with 7 games left in the month, at Toronto, at Washington, at Orlando,
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to go 2-1.
Okay.
That's just
in some combination, yeah. Okay.
It's some combo. You know, obviously Toronto, Washington, and then lose to Orlando is, again, on paper, but whatever. Then you come home, Philly, no Embiid, but that Philly game, here's what I think is going to happen on the homestand, Jason. I think they're going to lose to Philadelphia. I think they're going to beat Dallas twice.
Oh, that's huge right there if they do that.
I think they're going to beat Dallas twice. I think they're going to beat Utah, but it's going to be a super tough game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the hell is going to happen with the Clippers. They'll probably lose. And if that holds up, that means they'd be 3-2 to finish that out. Excuse me. Yeah. They go 2-1.
And 3-2, that's what, 5-3?
That's 5-3, and now all of a sudden you're looking at
11-5.
Yeah, exactly. There's your 11-5.
Yeah, which, that'd be fine.
It would be fine.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, especially if you're telling me the two of the wins are against Dallas, that's massive.
That's massive in the books, you're right. Yeah. Then they finish out the road trip April 2nd versus the Clippers before going on that brutal road trip you talked about earlier, New York, Boston, Brooklyn, Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. before coming home. And, oh, hey, here's New Orleans, who kicks the hell out of you every time. And then there's Phoenix, probably, very likely, in a chase with you for
yeah.
that spot.
I know we did the schedules last week, and I knew, I think when I did Phoenix, I said they had the most difficult schedule, I thought, of everybody. Mm-hmm. I want to read you their last 10 again, because when I saw it yesterday, it just kind of reminded me of what they've got coming
up. You're talking about Phoenix?
Yes. Okay. So Phoenix, I think, total had 4 games left with teams at below 500, and it's all like right now, basically, coming up. So after they complete that, here's Phoenix's last 10 games. At Denver, at OKC, at the Pelicans, home for the Cavs, home for the T-Wolves, home for the Pelicans, ugh. Home for the Clippers, at the Clippers, at the Kings, at the Timberwolves.
Oh,
all playoff teams.
Oh, my God.
Now, if they do well, they've earned. But, I think that's brutal.
If they
10 straight against playoff teams.
If they finish ahead of the Kings.
They earned that.
They earned it, or the Kings just completely choked. Because as it stands right now, they are a half game behind Sacramento, as we just talked about. Dallas, half game back, and the Kings have 2 home games with them. And by the way, I think those are going to be 2 incredibly entertaining games.
Yeah.
Incredibly entertaining games. But you know what? If Phoenix runs into that brick wall like it looks, one of 2 things is going to happen. They're going to run into a brick wall, and they're going to end up being, play-in Phoenix. But if Phoenix ends up in the top 6, that means they will have done quite well, and all of a sudden it's going to be don't sleep on Phoenix.
They'll be scary.
Don't sleep on them. No one wants to. Phoenix is a team nobody wants to play. They're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, but watching them for a lot of the season, watching how the Kings have played them, they sure seem flawed to me.
They do.
Even with 3 stars.
No, they really, really do. They have 3 stars, but I don't know that they're complimentary, and ain't a lot of defense on that team.
Right.
Not a lot of defense at all. So all that's coming up, 15 games to go, 3 road, 5 home, 4 road, and then 3 to wrap up. We'll take a break. Speaking of wrapping it up, we'll wrap this segment up, and we'll move on. Bob Gerald is going to join us. Get your bracket notes out. Which teams does he like? And maybe some future NBA guys that we can look at on Thursday and Friday and beyond. We got so much show to finish up with. Last 2 hours, second half, with Bob Gerald coming up next.